Good morning to God's wonderful people. This is Una Dillon, and this morning I will read the scripture lesson, which is taken from Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Bless His wonderful name. Here ends the reading of the morning's lesson. Thanks be to God.
Been a blessing just to be able to stay connected and to be reminded of all that God has done for us. I just thank you so much for connecting with us today. Ebenezer friends and families and the church family as a whole, the body of Christ. I just love the Lord and what He's doing in this season and transforming us to be more like Him. I want to remind you, please stay connected to ebcnc.com. I want to encourage you also to subscribe. We have a newsletter that comes out frequently. It gives you an update of all the information. And on our website, if you go through, you can see that subscription button. Also, don't forget about the app. Download the app. You can subscribe also from there to our newsletters. And we're just trying to keep everybody connected and on the same page, in essence, as we go forward. I'm just blessed to see the connection that's happening with the saints, whether you're texting someone, you're calling someone, loving on, having drive-bys to show your love, however God leads you. It's amazing how God is taking us to higher levels in Him of just hearing His voice and doing exactly what He would have us to do. Today I want to look at a special scripture on giving that we quote often, but I've been looking at it in context. So I'm pulling in more of the context of the scripture. So I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, that chapter 9. And we're going to start at the 6th verse today. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." But notice this, it says that, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." 2 Corinthians 9:9, "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." And that 10th verse, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And then that 11th verse sums it up, "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Isn't that amazing how God, He just weaves every part in as we give and as we reach out to bless others. He brings those blessings back in. And I know there's some shouts out there of how God has just provided for you in a wonderful way. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. I thank you that you are allowing us to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the opportunity to reach out, to love on others, to give, Lord. Thank you for being a wonderful provider. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, without further ado, we're going to ask our choir to give us a selection. I'm excited about today's word as we sum up 2 Thessalonians and we think about the parousia, the second coming of Christ. See you soon.
Praise be the Lord. My song this morning is "Speak, My Lord." Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling, who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. When the voice of God said, who will go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Soon the time of reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child, well done. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me.
What a journey we've been on as we have been going through this book of 2 Thessalonians. It's just been a blessing, and I'm just grateful for the voice of the Lord directing us as a congregation to go to this book in this time, this season. It's been encouraging to me, and I pray that it's been encouraging to you as we've taken this journey through 2 Thessalonians. And I want you to be encouraged as we look towards that parousia, the second coming of Christ. You know what? This is our season. This is our time. This is our time where God is just using us, shining through us, ordering our steps. So I want you to celebrate more and more that you are Christian, that you're saved, and that you know Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, thank you for the congregation of the saints, not just Ebenezer, but all who are connected, Lord, all who call on the name of Jesus. Today, Father, I pray for those who are not saved. Would you help them to understand Romans 10, that it says to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said that they would be saved. Let them know about that. Ephesians 2:8, it says, by grace through faith and not of themselves, it's a gift from you, that they can receive that gift from you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you so much for just using feeble men and feeble women. Lord, thank you for speaking through us. And so, Holy Spirit, I welcome you to teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. And again, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for that transformation process. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's jump into this last portion of scripture of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want you to look at that 13th verse. This is an amazing verse, especially as we've just been going through so many trials and tribulations. I got a text the other day from someone just saying how the Word of God has helped them. Going in Bible study and reading it has encouraged them. So look at this, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Let's read that again, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Won't you read it with me? It's up on your screen. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Doesn't that feel good? I want to speak from a title today. Don't give up now. Yes, don't give up now. Can you repeat it too? Don't give up now. And I feel it's encouraging. Let's get into this word. From last time, we were in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and that third verse was our focus verse. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And that title was, The Lord is Faithful. Points in review to help us to transition to get to the this portion of Scripture today. The Word of God, deliverance we talked about from last time. He has my back. Confidence in the Lord and love and patience. Remember, the time frame is about 52 AD. The saints were going through. They felt that the Lord's return was imminent from Paul's writings, and they had kind of misconstrued that if it was imminent, it could happen within the next 24 hours. And some of them had really stopped working and went to the mountains and prairies and were just kind of sitting and waiting for Jesus' return. And so Paul the Apostle has come back in his 2 Thessalonians, and he has to define what he meant by the aid of the Holy Spirit, so that he could understand that Christ's return is imminent, but we've got to press our way through. We've got to make it to the finish line. We don't just give up. This time of end time is for us to be used in an amazing way as God works in our lives. And I pray that even now in this season that you're seeing that God is up to something. He is softening hearts. Even as you see hearts are getting so dark and cold, there is a revival. I really, truly believe there is revival that God is doing amongst people who have been searching for Him. Let's jump into 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Paul sums up this whole book in an encouraging way, but also he helps us to understand what it is to walk in God's holiness. There are some standards that the Word of God has put before us. As we're saved, God has expectations of His children. Look at this, 2 Thessalonians 3:6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Wow. Here's our first point. A bad brother. A bad brother. If you're a sister out there, you could put a bad sister, but in context, a bad brother. In this verse, as you look at it, Paul the Apostle is very blunt. He comes to the point and he says, okay, there's some of you that are walking disorderly. There's some of you that are not following the commands that are being put forth. I believe in context, as we've gone through the scripture, it was some of the brethren that were deciding that they weren't going to work anymore because the imminent return of Christ. And they was just giving up in a sense and saying, okay, Jesus, I'm just going to wait on you. And Paul the Apostle says, no, you can't do that. You've got to be an example. We're going to talk about that. You've got to continue to press your way through. You've got to continue to grow in the Lord. It's not to a point that we almost get to the finish line and we just kind of sit on the sideline. No, we press our way through. I remember running cross country and going 3.1 miles. And I wasn't the fastest person out there, but I always finished the race. There were times that I wanted to give up as we ran through the woods and we were going up and down the hills. I just wanted to hide behind a tree and just say, forget it. But I always finish the race. And this is for the Christians. We need to always finish the race. And Christ is going to enable us. And this is what Paul the Apostle is bringing forth. Notice that last part. It says, brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Don't give up. Now, Pastor McCarthy actually succinctly sums this up. He says, here, he, Paul, required separation so that obedient Christians were not to fellowship with habitually disobedient believers. In a broader sense, I think we need to ask ourselves this question, who are we keeping company with? Yes, yes, this is going to get real close to home. Who are we keeping company with? God kind of put this thought pattern on my heart the other day. Whoever you hang out with will affect your spiritual altitude. Yeah, I want to read that again. Whoever you hang out with will affect your spiritual altitude. Yes, we need to be concerned who we're hanging out with. And I find out, even in this time of social distancing and quarantine and mask and all of those things, we're still hanging out with some folks. Yes, we're still texting some people. We're still talking to some people on the phone. We're still feeding somebody, and somebody is feeding us. And we need to examine those who are around us, simply because people can encourage you to grow closer to the Lord, or they can stagnate your growth. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Listen to this. This is huge. And I think as a Christian body of believers, sometimes we don't focus on this side. Maybe our growth has been stunted simply because the company that we keep. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Are there any hallelujahs out there? Are there some people? No, yes, Pastor, you in the book. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, we have to make sure that we're pulling in people that can encourage us, that have our best interests, and people that know what the goodness of the Lord is all about and want that goodness in our lives. Look at this next verse. Don't give up now. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 9. It says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. That ninth verse, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Here's another point, the godly example. The godly example. So Paul the Apostle, he goes, okay, we need to mark those. There's some disorderly brothers. There's some bad brothers out there. They're causing problems. And we've got to be an example. And he gives that first example by his life. He said, look at me. I worked hard. I worked night and day. I strove to be a good example. Look at that scripture, that seventh verse. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Paul the Apostle said, I put forth an example. That ninth verse sums it up again, because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. He said, I had authority. I could have sat back, and I've been given authority by the Lord to speak into your lives, but I just didn't want to stand on the authority. I wanted to earn your trust. I wanted to be an example of what I should be. All of us have heard that saying that parents sometimes we can say, do as I say, but not as I do. Paul the Apostle was not one of those people. He said, you know what? I'm telling you to do something, but I'm also following those things I'm telling you to do. As the Spirit is dealing with me, he's dealing with you. He's bringing us together on the same page. Albert Einstein, he said this. Listen to this. He said, setting an example is not the main means of influencing others. It is the only means. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. He says, setting an example is not the main means of influencing others. It is the only means. So I've been thinking about this. You know, sometimes I've heard with NBA players or football, NFL players, they'll say something. They'll say, like, I don't want to be an example to the kids. I don't want to let somebody else be an example. I'm going to live my life the way I want. So don't put me in the spotlight as an example. But the problem with that is that you are going to be an example, whether it's a good example or a bad example. Are you here? You're like, wow. Your life is exemplifying something, whether you like it or not. Whether it is good or bad, we exemplify. If you are a bad brother or a bad sister or a good sister or a good brother, your life exemplifies that. It is a showing forth that example to people that are around you. We can't hide. We're in a social media society. I'm going to talk about that a little later. There is so much going on, and I have been amazed as I've had to go on social media and connect with people. Man, people are showing the real them on social media. They're putting pictures out there. Man, they're getting in conversations, going back and forth. And what they don't understand, it seems that these things will be there. These are exemplifying. When their kids, if they're young and they have kids, generations down can go back to these things oftentimes and see that person. That is the example. And Paul the Apostle is bringing, he said, we set a good example, a consistent example of God working within our lives. What are people learning from you? You got to ask that self of yourself. What are people learning from me? As I live from day to day, as I go to my job, as I talk on the phone or I text or I'm interacting on the internet, what are people learning? What are people seeing in my life? And the issue is there are many that we see that are looking at us, but there are more that we don't know that are looking at us. You get that? We see a lot of people that are looking at us. They may say something, but my concern has always been, what about the people that are seeing us when we don't think that they're looking at us? Don't give up now. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12. Paul takes this to another level. He says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. I heard an amen out there. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. That word keeps coming up. Not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Here's another point. Busybodies. Busybodies, busybodies. Now, as you look at that scripture, it brings out, again, we need to be aware of the lifestyles of the people that are around us. And it's my concern that oftentimes that when you go to a physical building and you're there on Sunday or whenever you come and you're with the saints, and I know that now we're connected internet-wise, but oftentimes even in a physical building, you don't really get to know that person. That person comes that you meet up, you may sit on the same pew and they're there, and they look like, man, they're just a really nice person. And I've met so many people that are genuine, but I've met so many people that look genuine, but that's not who they really are Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, it's like they put on the guise of holiness and spirituality, but on Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, something else comes out. So we need to be concerned about the lifestyle. And we're in a state of society that we do have all these connections that we can put up all the things about us on the internet and facts and figures about us, but at the same time we want to be secret about our lives. And so we kind of show what we want to show, and then there's other part that we don't want people to get close to us. But the issue is, Paul is bringing out, if you're going to associate with someone, you need to know what's going on with them. You need to have a discernment, because what's done in the dark, listen to me, it will come to the light. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there from experience. What's done in the dark is going to come in the light. It's going to affect your decision manner from day to day. Look at this next part. Spurgeon says something. He gives us a quote to help us understand. He says, the truest love to those who err is not to fraternize with them in their error, but to be faithful to Jesus in all things. I believe that we've been mistakenly taught in a sense that, you know, when someone is doing wrong, that we still just kind of hang out with them and we don't say anything about that. And I think we get into this point, it's like, I don't want to judge anybody. But there's some standards that God has put in the scriptures for all of us that we can say, okay, that is not right. And I tell you, as it's getting darker in this season, there are going to be times that we're going to have to stand up and say, that's just not right. You know, I
that's not right. The scriptures say this, and if it's affecting us, we've got to be aware of it in our lives. That's why I think it's 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because when we get into that word, it examines us and it puts a standard all around us. How faithful are you in upholding the word of God? How faithful are you in connecting with Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Have you gotten caught up in some other things that you're more faithful to social media, and you're more faithful to something else that's winning your life, and you're exalting that above Jesus Christ? Are you at the point in your life that you're really falling in love more and more with Jesus, or are you allowing other things to embark in your life and pull you off of the path? We've got to decide that we want people around us that are going to encourage us to get stronger. Any hallelujahs? I want people around me that are going to encourage me to become more like Jesus, and going to encourage me to pray more, and encourage me to read more and seek his face, and to be a true believer, one who loves the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I don't want to be a fake believer. I want to be somebody who's strong in the Lord. And yes, I'll have my issues, and yes, there'll be times when I fall down or I mess up, but I'll know how to call on the name. Are they any excited folks to call on the name of Jesus? Say, I want to be true for the Lord. Don't give up now. So many times we can just get stuck in our ways, and we don't grow the way we stood. But Paul the Apostle says, no, we're not going to be disorderly, but we're going to stand in God's word. We're going to continue to seek him. We're not going to give up now. Notice his next scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. I want to read that again because, man, this is life-changing, this verse right here. He says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. Here's another point. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Now, I want to point out something that should be obvious in this scripture, but I've gone through this scripture over and over again, and I often quoted it and stopped and says, just don't grow weary. And we put that. We shouldn't grow weary. But Paul the Apostle put something that's very powerful in here. He says, do not grow weary in doing good. For some of us, there's a lot of stuff that we grow weary in, but it's not in doing good. Yeah, it's doing bad. We get weary with stuff. We get weary with our days. But Paul said, for the Christian, there's a challenge. We are called to do good as the Holy Spirit is working in us. And there's some times, are you listening to me? I want to be real with you. There's some times that we can be on the right track. We can be doing the right thing. We're reading our word. We're praying. We're walking in the righteousness of God. But weariness can begin to seep in. Are there any real folks that can understand? You just get tired. You just get tired. And the reason is, we're going to go a little further in this. The reason is we began to depend more on ourselves than the power of God. And we get weary. And that's why Paul brings this out. He says, okay, it is getting close to the Christ return, but don't grow weary in doing good. That's the trick of the enemy. He wants us to grow weary in doing good so that we will stop and we will become disorderly, and we'll start being a bad example, a bad brother. The NLT version gives a vivid example of this in Philippians of how not to grow weary. Look at this, Philippians 3:14. Paul said this, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You got to press your way. You got to press your way. God did not promise that this life was going to be easy. He didn't. And so we press our way knowing that the Holy Spirit is on the inside. We press our way knowing that there's going to be a brighter day. We press our way knowing that, no, with Christ on our side, all things are possible. We press our way knowing that, you know what? I can still give him praise. I may not like where I am. I may not like the situation. sin, but I'm going to still stay in his graces, and I'm going to do good, and I'm not going to grow weary, because I found out, Paul the Apostle found out, he said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. Some of you got some testimonies of what the Lord has done in the last few months. There's been some times that you were about ready to give up. There was some times that you was like, you know what, my faith is so low, but in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that low point, all of a sudden you began to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, and all of a sudden something began to roll like a wheel in the middle. There ought to be some shouts out there that said, I know, Pastor, I was there. I was getting weary and doing good, but I turned away from myself and I looked to Jesus, the cross of Calvary, and all of a sudden something changed on the inside. Let us not forget about Jesus. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't give up now. And he prayed for us. Yes, prayed so much the scriptures bring out. It says sweat as drops of blood began to permeate out of his pore. He's praying so much for us. But you know, he doesn't give up. He comes to that third time and he says, not my will, but let thy will be done. We need to press to the finish line. Don't give up now. Right now is your breakthrough. Right now is the transformation process. Right now is when God is doing something special. Look at what the Spirit speaks in Hebrews chapter 12 and 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. We're talking about Jesus. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Yes, yes, isn't that good? Isn't that good? We got to think about Jesus. The other day, I had some dental work done, and it was really supposed to be a very easy procedure, going in and getting the work done. But that minor procedure turned major really quick, and I found myself in the chair, and it seems like, because I'm so tall, the doctor turns the chair upside down, my head's down there, the blood's going, when he's working in my mouth, and he was dealing with a back molar, and I have a resistance to the drugs that they give, so they have to put in, and it seemed like he was just stabbing the needles in, and it's okay, I didn't like the needles coming in, but that was going to prevent the pain from coming later. But he just kept on given the anesthesia so that I wouldn't feel the pain, and I was still able to feel the pain. So he went on with the procedure, and I'm squirming under it, and we're about finished, and he's a Christian doc, he says this, he said, you know what, when I put needles in people and I get a needle inside of me, he said, I think about the nails that went in Jesus' hands and the nails that went in Jesus' feet. Now I'll be honest with you, it was a very spiritual correlation there. It was something that I probably should have shouted about, but I'm laying on the chair upside down with my mouth all numb and things going on. But he was right within that. When we think about what Jesus went through, any hallelujahs, when we think about the stresses that he went through for us and the struggles that he went through for us, it makes what we're going through just a little bit easier. It helps us to know, God, if you did it for us, we're going to be all right, because as long as you're on our side and ordering our steps, don't give up now. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:14 and 15. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Here's another point. The test of a true Christian. The test of a true Christian. Now, as we look at this, this really sets up some examples that we may not have thought about. You know, what if I have a bad brother or a bad sister around me? What do I do? How do I interact? Look at this scripture. He says, if anyone does not obey our word in the epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him. Ouch. Yes, yes, but it brings it all together at 15 verses. But yet, don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Notice this. E. Henson actually pulls a thought pattern to help us to understand this in the Greek. He said the word note is actually a simiu. It implies that the person who refuses to obey the word of the Lord while professing to be a Christian should be marked out and distinguished in some way from normal believers so that he is disassociated from them. He is not to be treated as an enemy, however, but as a brother. It must be made clear to that person and to the others as well that he is a disobedient Christian, and that if he wishes to associate with believers, he must be willing to submit to and obey the word of God.
My goodness.
How would our churches change if we started walking in that, in love, but saying, you know what, there is a standard. There is a standard. I believe that the church in some ways has lost its way because we become into a society and a thought pattern that just anything goes and we just accept anything in. But that's not the, what the word of God says. To be a Christian is serious. There are standards. There are things. There are lines that we just don't cross. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we've been changed. Are there any changed folks? You know you've been changed. There's some things that you used to do that you don't do anymore. There's some places that you used to go that you don't go anymore. Why? Because we've been changed to be more like Him. We are the body of Christ. As I was growing up, I was taught this. And my family, my dad would say, you represent your family. If you go out there and you do something, that reflects back on your family. If it's good, it reflects back. If it's bad, it reflects back. In the same respect, if we are Christians, we represent Jesus. We represent the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit. There is an example that we're putting forth, and I use that word over and over again. We represent Him. If we call ourselves Christians, it's more than wearing a cross. If we call ourselves Christians, it's more than going to a physical building. If we call ourselves Christians, it's more than having a big Bible on the family table that sits there. It's more than that. It's more than just stuff that we quote out of our mouth. We have to look at how are we living. Don't give up now. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Oh, I love this one. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. Always in every way, the Lord be with you all. Here's another point. The power of peace. The power of peace. Now, I love this because Paul the Apostle, he's pulling this to a conclusion. He's pulling everything together, tying it up in a nice little bow. And he says, okay, all right, we've got everything. We can't walk disorderly. We've got to mark those who are disorderly because Jesus is soon to return. We want to get this thing right. And then he says, I know some of you may be troubled. There are tribulations that's going on. But let me remind you of the peacemaker. Let me remind you of the peace giver. Let me remind you of the Lord of peace, the power of peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 kind of pulls it together. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. 7th verse, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't give up now. Any witness out there know about the power of prayer and the power of peace? When you get into prayer and you begin to pray and seek the Lord, you'll get in His word. All of a sudden, you'll find that peace that goes beyond your understanding. You'll come up. I'm telling you, if you're stressed out and you're going through something, learn how to pray. Learn how to seek the Lord, because that's where the power of peace comes in your life. But look at this next verse, as we pull them together, this 17 and 18, 2 Thessalonians 3:17-18, the salutation of Paul, with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we've got the power of peace. Here's the final point, the power of grace. Yes, the power of grace. When you read Paul the Apostle's epistles as he's led to the Holy Spirit, he usually has this benediction. He puts it down, this doxology of a type, and he puts it down and he just brings it to a conclusion, the peace and the grace of God. So we deal with this portion, the power of grace. Why grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. So there ought to be some shouts here. I just want to give you a little shouting point right here. Think about this. As Christians, as true Christians, we got the favor of God on our lives. Yes, favor. You may have heard that. Christians walk around, I got favor. But what sets it high is that it's unmerited. God gave me favor that I don't even deserve. I couldn't even earn it, but he put favor on me. That's something to shout about, and I never want to take that for granted. That's what grace is all about. God said, here is my favor. You don't deserve it. You mess up. You've had issues in your life, but I'm still going to put favor on you. I'm going to favor you. Paul lands the plane on grace. Are there any folks out there just excited about God's grace and his mercy? I'm so excited because in this verse, Hebrews 4:14-16, listen to this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't give up now. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Look at this 16th verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Are there any excited folks out there that now I don't have to give up, but I know I can go to the throne room and go right in and I can say, you know what, it's not because I'm so great and so grand, but I'm coming on your grace right now, the power of grace, and I'm going to come to your throne boldly. And it says that throne of grace, that I contain mercy and find grace in time of need. Anybody need grace in a time of need? Don't give up now. When we think about this grace and this power and this encouragement, if God did it for the church at Thessalonica, he can do it for us that are in the United States right now. He can do it for the church. He can carry us through. We just can't give up now. We've got to trust the Lord. Think about the example of Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary. He comes and he walks the streets of Galilee. He ministers like none other, but he didn't give up. There were times that the Pharisees and the Sadducees would get upset, and I know Jesus thought about, you know what, just forget these folks. The Pharisees would say, you know what, why did you heal that man on the Sabbath? And Jesus was like, you know what, I brought sight to the blind, I caused the lame to walk. But I'm so glad that he didn't stop there. There was some time that he expected the disciples to step up and to understand what was going on, but yet they would still be dull in their mind. But I'm so glad he didn't give up. Now remember that time where he was making a spiritual example, and he said, you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And the many disciples walked away from, thought that he was some kind of cannibalistic person. But I'm so glad that he didn't give up then. But I'm so glad that he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane that we talked about. He says, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. I'm glad he didn't give up. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. I'm glad he didn't give up. He's beaten all night long. I'm glad that he didn't give up. They put a crossbar on his back, goes up the Via Dolorosa, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I'm glad that he didn't give up. I'm glad that he was able to speak to that thief on the side and say, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He dies on the cross of Calvary. But aren't you glad? Are there any glad folks out there that is not over? He died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but on the third day he got up with all power and all glory. Don't give up now. If Jesus has finished the race for us, if he's won the victory for us, please know all we got to do is trust him. Yes, trust him. He's going to carry us through. He's seated right now on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Our victory is assured. Yes, we're going through now. There's struggles, but please know, he said, it's finished. What did that mean? It meant that I've done it. I've crossed the finish line. I've paid the price for you. All you got to do is just trust me. Pray to me. Walk in me. Don't give up now. I know it's been tough days. And you know what? We've got some tough days ahead of us. But for the Christian, for the saints, we've got God's spirit on the inside of us. For the Christian, for the saints, the true believers, we can sense him working in us. Whether in a physical building, or whether we're in our houses, or where we're in our cars, we can sense God's presence. We know that he's changing us and that he's called us for a time such as this. Your purpose, our purpose, is to know Jesus. And then once we know him and have a relationship, to share our understanding of Christ to somebody else as God's immense power of grace and mercy works in us. Don't give up now. If you're out there and you're saying, Pastor, I want to know a God like this that'll give me favor that's unmerited. I want to know a God like this that can bless the church of Thessalonica and their issue and their low points and encourage them. I need that encouragement in my life. I'm sad. I'm down. I'm going through. There's some struggles and I need him. Scriptures are clear. We started out with that and we go back to it. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from dead, you will be saved. Romans 10, read that whole chapter, but it succinctly in the middle of it, it says that's the pattern. Confess him. Ephesians 2 and 8 brings it together, says, by grace through faith and not of yourself, it's the gift of God. There's that grace, the power of grace. Just accept and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I need you. I've given up many times. I've grown weary, not just in doing good and stuff that I was doing that was contrary to your will. Help me today to be your child. For those who are saved, I think all of us have been challenged in this season. This is the time that God wants to use us in an amazing way. Maybe you need to repent today. Maybe you need to rededicate yourself today. Today, not tomorrow, not when we get back to a physical building, but you need to rededicate yourself today and say, God, I want to be used. I grew weary in doing good, and I kind of just went on vacation for a bit, just waiting till everything got back to normal. But saints, what if everything doesn't get back to normal? There's no excuses. Again, our purpose is for this season and this time God wants to use you. So I want you to decide today as the saints of God. God, I want to walk with you. I want to be 100%. I want to cross that finish line because you've already won the victory for me. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for this entire book. Thank you, God, that you are so wonderful. Lord, you knew that we would be in this season of COVID-19 and other issues, racial disparities, United States, trillions of dollars in debt, Lord, terrorism inside our borders and terrorism outside our borders. You knew we would be here, God. You knew there would be laws that would not glorify you. You knew, God, that the structure of so many things that we have taken for granted would fall down. You told us that, but help us, God. We're here in this season and we need you, God. So thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus, and all that he's done for us. Thank you for saving souls. Thank you for end time revival. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping us. We give you praise, honor, and glory. And the saints said, amen.
Your lamp trembling, burning, put a little oil in.
I won't give up now. Thank God for His grace and His mercy and His peace, everything that He's given us in this season and this time. Well, before I leave you, I want to invite you to a prayer time, a prayer conference call, video call. The other night, I had a dream, and in that dream, it was very vivid to me that we needed to pray, and we're going to do it online. And so we already have everything set up for you. Just need you to prepare yourself be in prayer for us. As you can see beside me, that number is 470-480-9355. Again, 470-480-9355. If that sounds familiar to you, that's our audio number also, but it's also been a / video call too. In order to get the app so that you can actually your face be seen on there, you just go to freeconferencecall.com, freeconferencecall.com, or to your app stores, and you can download that to your phone. And you just, when you get the app, you put that number in, 470-480-9355. I'm just excited. It's going to be a time that we can get together on. It'll be Tuesday, February 2nd at 6 o'clock. This Tuesday, February 2nd at 6 p.m. And so you'll call in, or your video conference in. We'll have you there right around 6 o'clock. I'm just going to start out with prayer, and we'll just have whoever is led to pray. That time frame, it may be from 6 to 6:30, or it may be from 6 to 7, just depending on how many people get on that conference call. But it'll just be a time that we can pray. I am asking you to do a special thing on Tuesday, February 2nd, before the prayer time. If you will fast one meal. Now, I know there's some diabetics out there, and please follow your doctor's advice. But just one meal as you're led of the Spirit on that day before the conference call. So again, on this Tuesday, February 2nd at 6 p.m., we're going to have a conference video prayer time, prayer call. Again, that number is 470-480-9355. I won't give up. This is the time for the saints to step up. This is the time for us to pray without ceasing. Our God is faithful. Hope to see you there. You be blessed.